I'm Charlene. In these 20-minute podcasts, I talk with memoir writers about their books, their lives, and their writing process. Sharing like this helps us all connect. As we listen, we learn about the world through the eyes of others. Their stories help us expand our views and empathize more deeply with each other. It's my pleasure now to invite you to listen in to this episode of Life Story on Soul Sciences. Hi, everyone. I'm here today with my good friend, Jennifer Monahan. Jennifer, as you may remember, has written a book called This Trip Will Change Your Life, about her journey toward being a shaman. And Jennifer has a new book, a second book called Where To. Welcome, Jennifer, to the show. I'm so glad to see you again.
Hi, I am so thrilled to be with you again. I was thinking just last night as I was mentally preparing for our conversation today, when my first book came out, you were the first person to interview me. And I remember how nervous I was. An interview from my apartment in San Francisco, and we ended up having the best conversation ever. And I knew then that we were going to be friends, right? and that this was not just a flash in the pan kind of thing.
No.
And so last night, as I was thinking about today, there was absolutely no nervousness. And I was like, oh, I get to talk to my good friend Charlene again. Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel about you. One of the big treasures, of course, of doing this program has been for me to be allowed to meet so many people. But certainly You are a special being. Having done what you did, giving up your corporate life, going to live in Guatemala because you were practicing shamanism, and oh my goodness, so much has happened since. But we were just talking about your second book. Would you please bring our listeners kind of up to speed and where we got to with the second book?
Sure. So the second book, just as a summary, is called Where To? How I Shed My Baggage and Learned to Live Free. And it picks up soon after the first book ends. So at the end of the first book, I've gone back to work after the accident and trying to kind of put together my physical health. And then book two picks up about 2 years later, where I have healed from an injury that the doctors didn't think I would be able to fully heal from, and started to reassess all aspects of my life. And basically what I decided to do, and you covered it a little bit, was I ended up quitting my job. I realized that life was too short, and I had spent a lot of time working on my career, almost to the exclusion of other things, right? And it was always about doing a really good job at work, and I was big on playing it safe, right? So, you know, go to college, get good grades, then go get the master's degree, get good grades, you know, always looking for the job. What's the next one to help advance your career? And what I realized after the accident was I hadn't really ever lived.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I quit my job, and the plan was not to move to Guatemala. The plan was to spend a year or so just traveling and writing. And I decided to start in Guatemala because of the Mayan ruins there. And if you remember from book one, I talk about how powerful they are for me. I have this strong connection to them, and I wanted to explore. And so I ended up renting this little hut in the jungle. I mean, like thatch roof, monkeys in the trees, kind of jungle, and fell in love with it. And I don't want to give away the whole story, but to your point, I did end up spending quite a bit of time in Guatemala and now have permanent roots to Guatemala.
Wonderful. And what brought you to write the second book, Jennifer? This book that you've just released, Where To?
Yeah. You know, it was a number of different factors, but one thing, I received a phone call while I was in Guatemala from an old boss of mine from a different job years prior, and we had become Facebook friends, and he called me up, and he said, I need to talk to you, and I said, okay, and he said, how did you do this? And this is a question, as I've mentioned to you before we started recording, I'm getting quite a bit. How did you do this? I wrote the book because I wanted to share my journey to figuring out like what makes my heart sing and what makes me tick and fills me with joy. But I also wrote the book as a quasi-guidebook for others, right? Because it is scary, right? Figuring out what you want to do and then jumping in and doing it is scary. I think we're really conditioned through our life to follow that safe path, to be, responsible adult. And we've defined responsible adult as somebody who goes to work 5 to 6 days a week and has a house and the mortgage and this. There are all these things, right? You got the dog and the kids. And so the book, while it shares my journey, also touches on the 6 things that I discovered, both doing my own work, but also working with clients, that hold us back from doing this. And they range from the, I call them personas, the personas that we take on usually when we're a child to help us make sense of the world that we're living in. So it could be, for example, your persona was to be the class clown or the joker, right, in the family. That was the person who made everybody laugh. But as a result of carrying that, right, you're kind of pigeonholed into always being the happy one or the practical joker or whatever. So personas, limiting beliefs. And these are the things that, through nobody's fault, they're brought onto us from a young age. It could be because of our gender. It could be the geography that we're born into, the religion that we're born into, society, the culture, our own family's norms, right, that define what's proper and not proper behavior or what's proper or not proper things to do, right? So, I always toss out, In the United States, we say big boys don't cry. Well, that's a limiting belief, right? Because boys should cry, men should cry. They should be able to express those emotions. And the flip side of that is little girls are always nice and quiet.
Yeah.
Right.
Also not true.
Also not true. Exactly. And I like to think that I'm an example of that not being true. But these things hold us back. Yes. Right. Our personas, our limiting beliefs hold us back. And so in the book, I talk about that. And then the other things that hold us back is a lot of people don't know how to connect to their heart and figure out what they want.
Very true.
What's in there? What is it that your soul wants for you in your life? What is it that you want to create for your life? So the book touches on that and then how to bring that forward. So I created the book to share my story, but also to highlight these 6 things that I think all of us need to do if we want to live courageously and authentically. And it doesn't mean we all have to move to Guatemala to do it, right? But it means coming at our lives from a different perspective. I'll call them the spiritual aspects of my growth in that area. But what I like about the second book is it is relatable, I think, to a far more larger audience, right? I think not that everybody's going to quit their job and go to Guatemala, but I think everybody can relate to this concept of there's something more I want to do with my life. I mentioned to you, I am back in the United States now. I'm back working for the firm I was working for when I had the accident. They called me up and said, hey, we'd love to have you come back. And I said, yes, because I feel like this way of living is something that needs to be shared. It's easy to live your dreams when you're in a remote jungle somewhere, but it's harder when you're dealing with the realities of our life. So what I like about this book is most people can relate to the idea of I want more from my life. And whatever that looks like for them, they can then hopefully pull from this and start to create that life for themselves.
What struck me about your second book, I loved your first book. It was like eating a butterscotch ice cream for me because it was all a different kind of shamanism than the Tibetan tradition, which I'm more fully immersed in.
Right.
And your journey toward that and the power that you have as someone who will help others through journeying shamanically for them. I really appreciate that you do that. And whoa, but now you're back in the corporate world. So the extraordinary extremes of that. However, what I love about the second book is how personally you document some of the deepest pain in your life. And it may sound strange to people, but I feel like we are joined through our pain and our empathy. When we read or hear about other people's pain, we can relate. Compassion comes up. And we get stronger in our hearts. Speak to that for me, please.
I agree wholeheartedly, Charlene. I think our stories are what connect us. And while stories of happy things, like, oh, I won this, or, you know, my child did this, can connect, it's when we can connect to another person when they are ripped to the core and desperately need somebody to lift them up. I think that's when we connect. I think one of the biggest challenges we have in our society today is a lack of connection.
Yes, I agree.
You know, technology is a beautiful thing. And I love that you're in Canada and I'm in the United States and I can see your face right now while we're video Skyping, right?
Yes.
And so in that way, technology can connect us, but it can also disconnect us greatly. And if you look around, I think most people are crying out to connect to another person. And most people, when they have something bad happen to them, maybe they let their immediate family know, but we also have this stoicism thing going on where, you know, you stiff upper lip and I'm going to tough through this. And, you know, I worked actually with two different men who, when one of their parents died, went back to work that same day.
Oh my goodness.
Right. And they didn't allow themselves to even show that they were affected by the loss of a parent.
And then we have chronic fatigue, and we have diabetes, and we have all the autoimmune and all the arthritis. And we are more and more becoming aware scientifically that is an emotional repression, that the emotions have not been allowed to flow through the body.
Right, right. And by sharing my story, and I I'm not going to give away what that deep pain was, but by sharing it, it allows people who have had a similar situation to feel, well, one, connected to me, but two, if they do have any repressed emotions, it gives them an outlet, right? Much as going to a movie and seeing a scene that you start crying in the middle of the movie theater, same kind of thing. I actually had somebody reach out to me after reading book two, and they said, I cried with you last night.
Yes.
And I said, what do you mean? I wasn't expecting that. And they said, when I got to this part of the book, they had an experience that was not exactly the same, but it triggered some other things and it allowed them to cry.
Yes. And what I also find so wonderful and inspiring about our stories when we share them is how we heal, how we don't stay. And part of it is giving that expression to the emotion. And then each of us individually, it seems to me, finding our way one step at a time, one hand over the other, back to a world of the fuller expressions. What would you say to that, Jennifer?
I agree 100%. And I think the other thing that sharing our stories does is it shows how much we really are the same.
Yes.
We tend so much to focus on our differences.
Yes.
But at the core, the majority of us mourn the loss of a parent or the loss of a child. The majority of us feel fear if we lose our job and we don't know where our next paycheck is coming from, right? We're all kind of in the same boat.
Yes.
And there's only one or two percentage points that make us different. You know, maybe my hair is one color and yours is a different color, or my religion is different than your religion. We focus on those things instead of all the things that unite us as human beings on this journey together.
Exactly. Thank you so much. This has been such a beautiful interview. Will you come back and talk with us again sometime?
I will. You know I will.
I appreciate knowing that, my friend. Bye for now.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's it. That's all for today. Many thanks to Kevin MacLeod for that lovely music, Carefree. And many thanks to all of you who make these podcasts possible. Remember, take good care of each other. Bye for now.